the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. Joining us on the phone right now is a tech reporter at MarketWatch at MarketWatch.com, Jennifer Booten. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on the show. So I wanted to chat with you because you're a reporter. You cover technology industry and stuff like that. And you write sometimes about biohackers. And you recently had a magnet implanted in your finger as part of a story exploring the subculture of people who refer to themselves as biohackers. What in the world is this about, Jennifer?
So I did. I drove from New York City down to Pittsburgh to meet with a man named Zach Watson, who works for a piercing studio. So he's a tattoo artist and a piercing artist. However, he also refers to himself as a body modification artist. And you can think of that as like, you know, in the traditional sense, you know how people sometimes get gauges in their ear, kind of as like a really big earring that makes the hole bigger.
Yes.
It's something people have been doing for, you know, the last 20 years or so. So what he does now is kind of like an extension of that. It's modifying your body, but through the use of external technologies. So what he does is he implants currently, this is what's going on currently, and it's going to advance, but right now he implants magnets and RFID chips in people's bodies. Mostly right now they're either forearms or their hands or their fingertips. And they do it's for various reasons. The people do them for various reasons. I had a tiny magnet implanted in my right hand, I believe it's my right hand ring finger, and the reason why I did it was, A, to kind of do research for this story and to get closer to the people who are doing it, and there's also another startup that he works with that are trying to advance this further that are based down in Pittsburgh, so I was able to meet with them and spend the whole day with them and to get an implant myself to experiment. And see what's going on.
Okay, so you have an implant in, you said, your right-hand ring finger.
Right.
How is it incredibly tiny then? Do you notice that it's there?
I notice that it's there all the time. It's about a pencil eraser sized. That's about how big it is. So it's not huge, but it's in the pad of my finger, right? So it's noticeable because it's not, it takes up a good chunk of the pad of my finger, but because it's a magnet, it's pretty, it doesn't really, it doesn't hurt or anything. What it does is when I'm near certain electromagnetic fields, so for example, a microwave or even certain things that emanate waves that you wouldn't realize, such as a Mac computer or my phone, I can get a little vibration from that. So if I put my finger near a microwave, it'll vibrate. Besides that, it doesn't really bother me really at all, so it's not too bad.
All right, so you said it's in the pad of your finger. So, like, if you tap down with that finger on the table, you'd be tapping with the magnet. The magnet's kind of right there in the pad?
Yeah. That's correct.
But if it's
not so big where it would make a noise when I tap down. I'm trying it right now, and okay. I don't hear anything. But, I mean, I can feel it. But, you know, it's pretty insulated in my skin. And by now, you know, most of my, like, nerves have wrapped around it and stuff.
So
pretty gross.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So it's about the size of the tip of an eraser on, like, a pencil, on a wooden pencil.
Yeah, it's a couple centimeters.
Okay.
In diameter.
And so if you showed me your hand right now and I was looking at your hand, would I go, dude, what's that inside your finger, or would I not even notice it?
You wouldn't even notice it because there's no scar or anything. Some of the implants that people are getting, they're getting for aesthetic purposes. So, for example, and I don't know if he does this himself, this man that I went to, if you'd have to go somewhere else, but the company that I worked with in Pittsburgh has created this aesthetic looking implant that is basically, it's a larger, maybe the size of a small cookie, like a Girl Scout cookie, but it lights up red with LED lights.
In your story at MarketWatch, there's a guy with that under his hand.
Yep.
That's lit up. And so that's an aesthetic thing. That's
an aesthetic, right? So that serves no purpose, just to
freak people
you
out.
You thinking it's cool, right? To freak people out. And think about it like a tattoo, right? Like if somebody gets a demon tattoo on their arm, that everyone's going to see. You know, it's the same exact thing, except this one's just a little bit more high tech.
Okay.
But that's the aesthetic, and then of course there's the whole other side of it. And if you want to know what my magnet does, like, or why I got it, I can explain that as well.
Well, yes, that is the natural question. Let's jump to that first, Jennifer. So you have this pencil tip eraser magnet sized magnets
yeah.
installed in the ring finger of your right hand. And what is the purpose, if it's not for, if it's not aesthetic, what is the purpose of that magnet other than to have your finger freak out a little bit when you're near electrical stuff?
Well, the basic is, you know, I can also do funny little tricks. I can pick up little tiny metal things and freak my friends out. Funny, but the actual purpose of it and the reason why people get it is because you can actually, it's almost like having a sixth sense. So you can pick up kind of these electric magnetic waves and things like that that other people can't. And sometimes I'll do it for fun. I'll like throw my left hand around there to see if I could feel, you know, the waves coming out of the microwave or out of my phone. And then I'll put my right hand on it and feel it. And I'm like, oh, that's weird because these are here and you don't think they're there. You know, waves. You know, between Wi-Fi and everything, they're all around us at all times. We just don't sense them because we can't sense them.
Yeah.
So this is just one way to do that. And of course, it's not really serving a functional purpose at the moment. I mean, who really cares that I can feel these magnets? But that's not really the point. The point is just to show that there is a way that by using technology, you can have other senses and you can augment your body to feel and perceive things in a way that you can't without it.
So there's no real practical purpose necessarily. It just sort of gives you an awareness, maybe more of electrical current around you. Have you been out in a lightning storm or anything yet, like where your finger is, you know, anything like that where you felt electricity in the air?
I actually haven't yet, so I'm excited to see if anything comes from that. But for the most part, you're right, it's not totally practical. It's just, and sometimes it surprises me, right? There's times when I'm near my phone or I'm near, you know, certain transmitters where I expect it. And then there's other times when I'll walk by something and then I'll get a ding in my finger and not expect it. And so that's a pretty cool feeling too. But again, it's not really practical. There are certain things you can get that are more practical. For example, Zach also does implants that are RFID chips, which allow you to, for example, serve certain personal information on them, and you could kind of scan them to check in certain places the way you would with another kind of chip. You might think of this with the way, I'm sure you've seen or heard of the stories where people want to, you know, put implants in their children to track their children.
Well,
crazy
it's
stuff
been,
like
it's,
that. That's it, a little
well,
too big brother.
But it's also been talked about with children with special needs or disabilities where there's concern that if they ran away, they wouldn't be able to, you know, find their way, different things like that, Down syndrome and autistic children.
Exactly.
I know it's been talked about a little with that.
There's pros and cons, and that's one of the positives for sure.
Okay, so I got to finish up on you here. So this thing is in your finger. You said the nerves have wrapped around it. If you wanted to, could you get it taken out? And is there any danger in having a magnet in your finger?
I could get it taken out, but it would be another procedure. So I'm really not trying to do that unless it becomes a problem. The only other thing that we're a little unsure about is, because I've traveled with it already, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens when you go through the metal detector at the airport? It does not detect it?
It doesn't detect it because it's so small, and it's also so small that I don't have to worry about erasing my credit cards or anything like that. It's too small for that. The only thing we're not quite sure about is an MRI machine. I've been told that I should be fine, but, you know, we'll have to see. Apparently, one of the guys who had one went and did an MRI machine and was okay, but we'll see when the time comes. I'm sure it'll be fine, though, especially the farther I go and the more it's more integrated with my body. I think I should be fine.
All right, will there be any issues with your body at all? I mean, you've got this piece of metal sitting in there, and I guess people have that all the time for medical procedures or a bullet left behind when they get shot or something like that. Is there any concern about side effects from having this in your body?
No, not at the moment, because it's wrapped in a really high-grade silicone that is meant to be in a person's body for a long period of time, just like any other silicone product we put in our bodies. So while the metal and the magnet itself is of high quality, it's gold plated. So it's really, you know, there's a couple layers protecting my body from the actual metal that's in the magnet. So I think it should be okay. But of course, there's always a chance that will wear down over time and that one day in maybe 30 years, it will become affected and I will need to take it out. But it's not a near-term concern.
We're speaking with Jennifer Booten. She's a technology reporter at MarketWatch. You can read her at marketwatch.com. You can follow Jennifer at jbooten on Twitter at jbooten, J-B-O-O-T-O-N. Okay, so we talked about what she did, which was just sounds like more just to figure out if this is, you know, what this is as she's writing about it. But there are, as Jennifer said, a lot of different not just aesthetic, but RFD chips, different things we can implant in our bodies. What's going on with those? And if this is about biohacking, is it also a danger that people are going to get your information or find stuff out about you if we, you know, venture too far into this realm? We'll talk about that next with Jennifer Booten here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. We're chatting with Jennifer Booten, a tech reporter at MarketWatch, reader at MarketWatch.com. Jennifer had a pencil tip eraser-sized magnet implanted in her finger. Jennifer, for no good reason that we can really say. Right? I mean, just because you wanted to see what this is all about, more or less, right?
Yeah, for a story.
It was research.
Just like any journalist will do things for a story. That's exactly what it was.
Your bosses must love you. Yeah, I'll get it implanted. What
oh,
the hell?
They love me. It Anything. Was my idea, actually. Yeah.
Anything for a story. All right, so tell us about some of the other things people are getting implanted and where this is headed. Is there medical breakthroughs? Is there research? Is there, you know, you mentioned the Big Brother issues. I mean, maybe dangerous criminals should have something implanted when they're arrested. I mean, is that conversations that are happening?
Yeah. So let's start with the medical part of it, because I think that the risks are important, but not too important yet, but let's discuss that. But the whole medical side of it is really interesting, because the whole argument that I try to make in the story is that if this is going to actually take off, it's going to be because there's a medical benefit, right? So you need to prove to people why they need to put something like that in their bodies for them to actually do it, or mm-hmm. at least give them a really good reason why they'd even want to consider it, even if it's not medical. But medical so far has been driving the investment. So you look at companies like this company I worked with in Pittsburgh, which their name is kind of odd. It's called Grindhouse Wetware. And they started as a group of biohackers. So they met on a forum and they were interested in how you could put technology in your body, because this is something that people have been tinkering with for 2 decades. But they formed a group of an actual organization, and now they have a whole bunch of engineers and people who are really dedicated to this, who are working on ways to make this technology, to develop it in a way that when implanted in your body, it can actually make you healthier or augment your abilities as a human. So they have a product called Circadia that is in development, that you can kind of think of it as a glorified Fitbit. Basically, it just reads all of your biometric data, and it's in real time, and it could shoot it out via Bluetooth to a phone. And that's one tiny example of something that's being done. There's other companies that have already come up with products that are on the market or about to be on the market that sit on top of your skin, kind of like a Band-Aid, that do the same kind of thing. And all of that, they're hoping this data generation will be able to be kind of funneled into a broader kind of software system that would be able to analyze it and make sense of it. So right now, your Fitbit is, you know, generating all this data, but people don't really know what to do with all of the data. In the future, if this kind of technology that is getting accurate data about your biometrics at all times a day, and it's shooting it out to a software system that's analyzing it in real time, the hope is that they'll be able to spot medical trends more easily, or be able to help people proactively manage their health, perhaps even predict a heart attack or a certain kind of disease before it comes.
Yeah, I know that, you know, we've read stories over the last year. You have in your story some of the stuff that's in the pipeline. Google and Novartis working on the contact lens that would track glucose levels, which would be great for diabetics who, you know, have to go through the pricks all day long to monitor their blood and different things like that. Medical really does seem so. You mentioned that, you know, we can be aware of things more readily or get warnings. Did you also say could maybe help change health? Like, is there ways that these implants could, you know, in the way a pacemaker helps control our heart, are there other ways that it won't just be giving us data for warnings, but actually helping improve our health?
Yeah, so there's a couple of products that are in development that would, or that some biohackers have just started wearing themselves, even though they're not FDA approved because they've developed them themselves and they can, that are improving their way of life. So if you already mentioned the Google Novartis partnership. That's one really great example because it's helping people with diabetes to manage their glucose levels in real time. It's not going to inject them as of right now with anything that's going to help protect them, but it's going to at least give them that real-time data. There's another man who has he's colorblind and has developed a way to put a technology, and he basically has an implant in his brain that vibrates when he sees certain colors. So it's given him a whole new spectrum of different kind of colors. Mm. There's a man named Kevin Warwick who actually is viewed as one of the pioneers of this industry because in the 1990s he was putting chips in his body, and he's been funded through a university in the UK for 20 years to do this kind of thing. And he's currently working on a new technology that would help predict tremors associated with Parkinson's disease, and potentially with certain implants put in the brain, potentially even help to alleviate those. So it's both the proactive nature of it, which is kind of what those implants, the Fitbit like implants I was talking about earlier, are. And then there's a potentially helping people be healthier and live healthier lives, which is kind of like the pacemaker example that you threw out earlier.
It's really fascinating where this is all headed. When you say biohacker, I want them to come up with a different term, because when you say biohacker, they're hacking their own bodies. But I worry that this is, because I feel like we've done interviews on biohacking before, which is the concern over when we start using our mm-hmm. fingerprints and our retinas for security, that somebody, once they hack that information, is going to have it. But these biohackers we're referring to here are just people that are hacking their own bodies with technology, right?
Exactly. And you're right, biohacking and biometrics have had that kind of use your fingerprint or your eye scan or your voice to get into your phone. That's kind of how we've been using it so far. And this is kind of a more advanced extension of that. But it's all the same thing, right? If you think about it, it can all be in the same category because it's all using your body to interact with technology. And there's a whole movement called transhumanism, which is exactly that. And it's the idea of making our more closely interacting our actual biological bodies with technology and helping them interact a little bit more closely. Mm. So with the example that you threw out with the, you know, signing into your phone with your eye scan or whatever, that's going to continue to happen. However, this is on the medical side, and it's a way to actually, rather than just use your body to control technology, actually having technology help make you healthier.
So you've been researching this and talking to a lot of people about it. You're talking in the article about what's out there now, what's coming in the near future. I imagine when you're talking to these people, they've also told you that this is what's going to happen eventually. That's like going to be this big breakthrough or the coolest thing ever. Is there something on the horizon that blew you away medically that will be used with technology?
Ooh, I would say probably the most interesting one. Everything right now is just more of a prototype.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the most interesting things that we're seeing medical-wise are the Parkinson tremors, because that could be a kind of lead-up to something that's far more invasive, but that's actually kind of making us robotically more efficient as humans. It's really insane. I mean, the types of things that people are coming up with are pretty phenomenal and really sci-fi right now. It seems a little out there. But if you can imagine a way to kind of integrate all of this and to make us healthier, it's actually pretty fascinating. And it's not that crazy either, because IDC, which tracks consumer technology all the time, they actually recently came out with a prediction that said in the 2020s, they think a large portion of the first technologies that are interacting with the human body will start to hit the consumer market. So this is something that actually isn't that far away.
It really is amazing. All right, so we talked a little bit earlier about some of the ways this might be abused, or different Big Brother ways that technology might start affecting and be used. Are you hearing much about that, or are you concerned about that at all as you find out more and more about the positive uses, that there's also nefarious uses that could be found for this technology?
Yeah, so nobody really did discuss too much about the potential of a malicious hacker coming in and hacking one of these, but that is something that people have discussed otherwise in other cases, and it's something that rightfully should be discussed, because hackers, as you know, have become an increasingly malicious part of our everyday internet lives. But I think that there will need to be precautions with this kind of thing. Right now, you don't see people coming in and hacking pacemakers all the time. There's thousands and thousands of people have pacemakers, and none of them are dropping dead due to malicious hackers. However, if everybody in the future has one of these, everybody has an RFID chip, and it can be, you know, tampered with by outside parties, that's going to be a serious problem. The FDA, though, isn't going to let something like that is really easily hackable into people's bodies. And I spoke with people at the FDA, and they pretty much said, we're going to treat this like any medical device. So just like any new thing you put in your body, whether it's a prosthetic or whether it's a pacemaker, that has to go through rigorous FDA approval. These will too. It's not going to be like a Fitbit or an Apple Watch that they just pass through. I mean, they don't even regulate Fitbit and Apple Watch, even though those are reading your biometrics. But if it's going to be more invasive, it's going to go through a rigorous, very rigorous process.
Have you seen the trailer for a movie that's coming out called The Belko Experiment?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, you have to see it. So there's this movie coming out. I just saw the trailer yesterday and it looks crazy, but it starts out as like an everyday workplace story. And then everybody's at work, whatever, the cubicles and working. And then there's a voice over the PA that says that it's like they're given this directive that they have to kill three of their coworkers or else six of them will die. And so in the trailer, they're all like, this is a prank. This isn't real, whatever. And then suddenly somebody goes down like they were just shot in the head. And now they're all freaking out and screaming and running around. And then in the trailer, they show a lot in the trailer, they're now around this person who died and they realize they weren't shot in the head. Their head exploded because there's an implant in all of them.
Oh, that's freaky. Yes. Movies like that are not going to help the development.
They're not.
You know, that's awful. I mean, that's the thing, right? So like the reason why I wrote this story, whenever I would talk about it with my friends or family, they would be like, oh my God, I remember the day I found out that MarketWatch was going to send me down to Pittsburgh to get this implant. My grandmother, I wrote it on Facebook and I was like, I'm so excited about this, you know, as the nerd I am. And my grandmother who's on Facebook was like, I don't think it's a good idea, you know, like Big Brother, you're going to have this in your finger and they're going to track you. And I was like, Graham, the government can already track me with my smartphone. I mean, I ping towers all around me at all times. I mean, not to freak anyone out, but if they want to track you, they can track you. And there's a chance that, you know, if they have a reason to, they are. It's not a pleasant conversation, but it's the truth. I mean, with these kind of implants, they're going to be so marginal in that respect that something like that. I mean, it's like having a fear over artificial intelligence and all the warnings we've been getting from Elon Musk and the most genius guys we have right now about how AI is going to take over and robots are going to kill us all. Hey, that's a fear. We should be aware of that fear. It's healthy to have fears. That's not something that's going to happen in, you know, 10 years. That's like so far off. In the meantime, AI is going to have a lot of really great ways, a lot of great impacts on society, right? So just like these potentially could. As long as you're developing these products with those fears in mind, though, that things like this could happen if we let it get out of control, then hopefully that kind of thing where exploding heads in an office won't actually happen, and that's just a fear. But getting people over that fear is going to be one of the biggest challenges of this market. So many people are like, whoa, that's so weird. You know, people will look at my magnet and be like, that's so really weird. Why would you do that? But they're also fascinated by it. So, and they want to know more about it. So that's the whole thing, is getting people okay with it and helping them to understand how something like that will benefit them. That's the only way to get that this market and this industry will advance.
You heard it here first. Jennifer Booten, tech reporter at MarketWatch, says we've got 10 good years before the robots come to kill us. So enjoy it while you can. We've got time.
I would argue we have more. I would argue we have more than that. But
I'd
you
say
never
go
know.
Conservative. You never want to be blamed at the end saying, you said we had more time. I only promised 10. I thought more. I only promised 10. You can follow Jennifer on Twitter at jbooten. That's at jbooton. And read her stuff at marketwatch.com. It was fascinating. Jennifer, thank you so much for jumping on the phone.
Thank you. It was a great conversation. Appreciate it.
All sorts of good things to look forward to. You're listening to Matt Bubala on Radio 720 WGN.